Raise a wits, your wings are your Lord. Raise a wits, you Lord. Raise a wits, your wings are your Lord. For you, oh, our vows will all be done. Raise a wits, your wings are your Lord. Oh Lord, you hear our praise. Oh Lord, you hear our praise. Oh Lord, you hear our cries. Oh Lord, you listen to our cries. To you, oh man, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll directly praise, praise our wits. You in Zion. So we lift the name of Jesus. So we lift the name of Jesus. All the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace. The Lord away. Oh, and our love will grow stronger every day we live, for He is our coming. Oh, let's lift His name higher and higher, for we lift the name of Jesus all the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord away. Oh, and our love will grow stronger every day we live, for He is our coming. Praise away to Jesus, praise away to inside, O Lord. Praise away to, praise away to inside, O Lord. To you, O man, will I break the ways, praise away you inside. Praise away to you, Lord, praise away you inside. Oh, my Lord, praise away you inside. Oh, Lord, to you our vows will all be fulfilled. Praise await you in Zion, oh Lord. So we lift His name, so we lift the name of Jesus all the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord away. Oh, and our love will grow stronger every day we live, for He is our coming King.
Amen.
You are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, oh. For you alone, Lord, are worthy, Lord, are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord, you are worthy. Oh, you are Alpha, you are. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, let's give him glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. Only you, Lord, are worthy, Lord. We give you glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. Only you, Lord, are worthy, Lord. You are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be. We give you glory, we give all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Only you, Lord, are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. We give you glory, we give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. You are, oh, we give you glory, we give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Only you, Lord, are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
We come to worship you.
Hallelujah.
We come to worship you. By surrendering ourselves unto you. Father, by giving ourselves unto you. Father, we've laid aside.
Amen.
This life, we've laid aside the activities of this day.
Yes,
and we've come into this place because, Lord, we just desire to worship you.
Amen.
We just love to draw near.
Amen.
Father, Lord, because you're so faithful to your promise.
Yes.
For you want us to draw nigh. Father, you said twos and threes when they gather you there.
Amen.
So, Father, we know that tonight all things are possible.
Amen.
Because, Lord, we're in your presence. Father, and anything that will persuade our hearts to believe.
We know, Lord, that it's possible. So, Father, may you bless us as we fellowship this night. Bless us in all that is said and done.
Hallelujah.
Bless each person that has gathered in this house. Father, we've come with one objective and one aim. That's, Lord, to have communion with you. We don't want to go from this place the same. But, Father, we're looking unto you. Bless us. Bless your people. Them that are here and there at work, college, wherever they would be. We pray for them this night, Lord. Especially for our sister, Lord, who's grieving, Lord. We pray.
Amen.
Father, just the reality of who you are would be just real unto her at this time.
Amen.
And all that she has read of and all that she's professed, Lord. Father, let it come, Lord,
Hallelujah.
To be real to her at this time, Lord. Her family as well, we dedicate them to thee. Every arrangement that should be made, Father, we're looking unto thee. Father,
Amen.
Would you bless us now. Father, as we come humbly to sit at your feet, we just pray that you'd be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, God bless you this evening. Let's open our Bibles, Acts chapter 16. We'd like to greet Charles and Hope. Hope and Charles. God bless you. Nice to see you in the house of the Lord. Welcome.
Amen.
They're Brother Shep's roommates. So by faith, we believe they'll also be soulmates in the faith by the grace of God. Amen. God bless. Let's read Acts chapter 16, saints. Let's get a thought. We just come for prayer this evening to pray for our sister and also for ourselves. Acts chapter 16, verse 28. Familiar story. Paul and Silas. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. You know, there's been quite a number of times recently that we've come to the house of the Lord to grieve with people. You know, to pray for people that are grieving, to pray for the Lord to comfort people. And I think back to Sister Lily, when her father passed away, and then, you know, we've gone through quite a number of people. Just recently, Sister Shaky with her father, Sister Comfort with her aunt, now Sister Viva, her father's passed away. And I just thought it was a real good opportunity at this kind of a time as we think about not only our own mortality, because if you're a Christian tonight, you know, your own mortality, it's not of a concern to you. To us that are fathers, or to us that have children, wives, the only thing we'd be thinking of is we'd be concerned about them. You know, that's the one thing. If the Lord came and spoke to you and said, "Set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you shall die and not live." That's the only thing that you'd be thinking about, is you wouldn't want to leave your wife, you wouldn't want to be leaving your children, you wouldn't want to be leaving the natural affairs of life behind. So, yeah, but concerning your soul, concerning salvation, concerning death in that form, you know, to a believer, there's no fear in death. You wouldn't worry about that kind of a thing. But when it comes to times like this, where you find somebody passes away, I just thought it was a good thing for us once again to think and come to pray for our loved ones who don't know Christ. You know, because it's these lives that you live, they can be busy. You know, these lives, there's lots of things that can pull you here and there, and you can get busy in a whole lot of other things. But when it comes to these kind of times, it's a very good thing once again just to bear in mind the most important of things, which is salvation. And every single one of us here, we've got relatives. You might have children. You might have sons and daughters, whosoever it is, who don't know the Lord. You know, and if they were called tonight, just like our sister's father was called yesterday, you know, these kind of times, they're serious times to think about the eternal destination of a soul. Now, the great thing about it is God has given us such a blessed promise. The one that we just read in Acts chapter 16. We want to just fellowship around this a little bit before we pray. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when the Philippian jailer asked the question, "What shall I do? What must I do to be saved?" The answer was, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." You know, so we know that. That's a promise. You shall be saved in your house. But how does this apply? You know, how do we actually take a hold of the scripture? What is the principle that we need to follow for this to come to pass? You know, I long for my children to come to know the Lord. You know, I long for that. I long for that scripture to be made flesh. Those who have that scripture made flesh, what a blessed thing that it is. The Bible says when a promise is fulfilled, it's like a tree of life. You know, so we just wanted to speak a little bit. And the prophet, he preached a message called "Thy House," you know, to the people who know the message. And he preached, it was in somebody's house he was speaking, but he took this scripture and he said, "I want to speak on the topic of thy house." And he says, "I want to explain to you this principle of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and thy house." Amen. So I thought it's a good thing. And then once we get into the spirit of the scripture and understand, you know, what God is meaning in his word, what is the way that we can apply the scripture unto the salvation of our house. You know, you have your brothers and sisters. I have my brother. I have my sister-in-law. I have different people, my brother-in-law and so forth. And they're far from God. You know, and we have all of these people around us. And I thought it was such a good opportunity for us to come to prayer this evening. You know, and just to seek if the Lord would just lead us and guide us and open that way, minister that entrance for us into that place, that we could come with a real scriptural understanding of how to apply this And then we don't leave this place without applying it. And then when you go home, you continue on the same. And now you take advantage of something when something has taken place, that God can bring something good out of any kind of a situation. Because God has His Word that applies to any situation. Now, the first thing we need to understand is that Paul and Silas were not saying to this Philippian jailer that just because this man was saved, his children or his family were going to be saved. Now, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying that your salvation that you have entitles your parent, your children or your wife or your parents, whoever else it is in your house, to salvation. That's not what it's saying. It's not an automatic guarantee that just because you are saved, that you're going to find that other people around and about you are going to be saved. You know, it helps a lot to have people around you that are saved. It's a tremendous thing to have. No, to have that influence and to have somebody whose life continually reminds you of the things of God. Imagine growing up in a godless home. Imagine growing up in a home where there's nobody around you. Your parents don't believe. None of your brothers, your sisters, your uncle, your aunts believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That there's just blasphemy and there's just cursing and there's just drunkenness. There's just all manner of sin. You know, the television's on all the time, just blasting out all unbelief and sin. And that's all that's being presented to you. That's not an easy way to grow up. You know, because you know there's nothing around you to give you a consciousness of the reality of God. But when God puts somebody in your house who believes, and that person lives out their faith, it's a continual reminder to you. There's something that you can't get away from. It's like when Paul stoned Stephen, when he was standing consenting to the stoning of Stephen. We know that it was that act, it was that faith, and especially when Stephen said, "Father, forgive them." Yeah. Paul, no matter how much he tried to fight against that faith, but that something that he had witnessed, that some presence that he'd experienced, that some reality in the life of Stephen, he couldn't get away from that. He tried to kick against the pricks, he tried to get away from that influence of what he had seen, but that genuine expression of the love of God, the genuine expression of what genuine Christianity is, friends, it has a power. It has an attractive power. And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." So there's a drawing power to that. When somebody meets somebody, no matter how imperfect we are, we have our good days and our bad, but that reflection, that spirit of Christ inside of you, there's something about it. It draws the attention of people that are hungering and thirsting, who are seeking for something. So it's a great advantage to have somebody near you who's a believer, who's a genuine believer. Just as much as it's a great disadvantage to have people around you that are hypocrites. No, because they're going to influence you so much away from the real thing. And I'd say that any single one of us as believers, that's the thing we should always be seeking and striving for. Say, "Lord, help me to be a true reflection of who you really are." Because this world is full of reflections of Christianity that don't reflect Christ. There's reflections of all kind of religion, but it has no image of Christ inside of it. There's no characteristics of Christ. There's no reality of Christ. And that's how we find this world has become quite a godless place because of that. So your salvation will not save your child. Your salvation. But we'll just see what the prophet says. He says, "So what did he mean by that? He meant this. If he had enough faith to be saved himself, the same amount of faith that he had for himself would work for his children." I just want to show, because he really explains this, the prophet, in such a simple way. But if you have faith, if you have genuine faith and you've been saved, that same faith. So it's not your salvation that's going to save your children. It's your faith that's going to save your children. That's what makes the difference. They're never going to be saved by our salvation. Your salvation can be a witness to people, but what brings the same salvation that you have into the lives of other people is your faith. It's faith that can bring about these kind of results. He says, "I don't believe my salvation will save them, but my faith in God will do it." You see, my faith, believing that God will do it, will cause them to come to Christ. Now, sometimes we can be people of extremes. Sometimes we can think that we've got so much faith when we don't. And sometimes we don't realize how much faith that we have. Now, sometimes we can overlook the power of even just the faithful salvation. The faith in salvation, for someone to be saved, it's a very, very powerful faith. Let me give you an example of how the prophet explains it here. He says, all right, when we're born of the Spirit of God, God isn't weak in one place and strong in another. If you've just got a little shadow of God in you, any believer here could put themselves in that situation. If you've only got just a shadow of God inside of you, he says, just the littlest speck of God, you've got all power. Because God doesn't have strong points and weak points. There's no, God has a certain part of his spirit that's weak and a certain part of his spirit that's not weak. So if his spirit is dwelling in you, that is power. That is all the power that is needed to achieve anything. But that faith, is, that power is governed by a law, and that's the law of faith. That you have to work according to a certain faith that will release that power. So there's got to be something. So we have inside of us, if we're saved, if we're born again believers, we already have the power in us to change the lives of all of our children. All of our mothers, our fathers, our uncles, aunts, that power is in us. Because we have God dwelling inside of us. And what is the proof that we have God living inside of us? He says, take for instance, we once lied. We once stole, we cursed, we swore, did everything that was wrong. But one day we accepted Christ. And what did it do? He opened up something. As soon as we accepted him, faith. Just like Paul was saying to the Roman, to believe. We received enough faith until we walked away, no more lying, no more stealing, no more cheating. Now that faith of salvation, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that was a powerful thing. Sometimes we can look down on that, but you were maybe an adulterer, you were a liar, you were a thief, you were so full of anger, you were so full of jealousy, you were so full of rage, you were so full of hatred, revenge inside of you. And then God opens something to you, God visits you. And when he visits you and you accept him, just that faith, by you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, when somebody tells you that Jesus died for your sin, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and you, in simple faith, something opened to you, and you just believe that, there came a power at that time, through that simple faith of just believing unto salvation, that power that believes to salvation gave you power to put all of those things under your feet. All of your adultery, all of your lying, your smoking, your drunkenness, all of your smoking, your marijuana, all of those kind of things. Just think of the power of that faith. Amen. That's the faith by which you are saved. Amen. And the prophet says, if you have faith enough to be saved, that same faith is sufficient to bring your whole house to salvation. Amen. And you can understand why. Because this is not just a weak faith that you're talking about. There are far greater faith where you can do great exploits of faith. But even this faith of salvation, just to believe, and something happens to you that raises you above the things of the world, that changes you from death to life, just that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and something being open to you, just a faith that comes in and you believe, I'm now a Christian. I've accepted Jesus. He died for me. I'm no longer a sinner. I believe that he died for my sin. Friends, that transforms your life. And the prophet says, if you have faith enough to be saved, you have faith enough, that same faith, for your household to be saved. You just use that same faith. So we're not looking for some super faith here. It doesn't need some great something to move a mountain. But that same faith that already has delivered you is the same faith that if we apply it, is going to deliver them one by one. It's going to bring them in one by one if we apply that faith. And that's why it's important and good at a time like this when we think of somebody passing off into eternity. Somebody who's come to the end of their earthly race. You know, they've finished their course, they've finished their time, they've passed beyond into the realm beyond. You know, I don't want to be getting to a stage like that. You don't want to be getting to a stage like that. There's loved ones around us that God has granted us mercy and grace, that we know how to come to the throne of grace. We know how to approach the throne of grace. We know how to speak to Him in whose hand all things are. And then we have people around us that are going to pass off the scene and we're not going to know where they are. We're going to be wondering, you know, did my boy make it? Did my daughter make it? Did my father? Did my mother? No. I would say that this would be a good time for us all tonight to take this seriously and say, hey, saints, we've been given access. We've been given so much grace. Let's use that grace. Let's take it seriously at this time and let's really consider those that are around us that are lost, those that are around us that know not Christ. And let's use this faith. Let's approach Him tonight. Let's approach Him in these days to come. And let's really apply this faith. And let's see God start to bring them in. So the prophet says that he says, this is the law of faith. The power is controlled by faith. He says, if you believe, you receive enough faith until we walk away, no more lying, no more stealing, no more cheating. We rode right up above that sin that we used to ride in there. Why? Because we were allotted that much faith. So God revealed Himself to us. What is faith? Faith is a revelation to you. Faith is when God reveals Himself to you. When God speaks to you, God makes Himself real. God visits you. That gives you faith. So just that faith for God to come to you and reveal Himself and say, I am the Lord who died for you. I died on the cross for you. I shed my blood for you. I paid for your sin. Just that something that was open, just that revelation, we received it and said, that's true. He died for me. That faith rose, allowed you to arise right up. And now you were looking down on all the things that you used to do. And now you had dominion over those things. Now the prophet says, it's that faith that Paul is speaking about. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Amen. It's just that faith. Ah, friends, what a privilege that you have. Now he doesn't say how he's going to save them. He doesn't put a time limit of when he's going to save them. You may have passed off this earth, and your faith will still be working to bring them in. It doesn't have to be now. But with that faith, when something opens to you. Remember Abraham. When he knew that, and the Lord came and revealed to him that I'm going to go and destroy Sodom. The cry of Sodom is great. The wickedness has come up before me. Abraham, by faith, he caught a revelation to know that Lot is not where he should be. You see, he knew something was declared to him. The Lord, in warning there, before judgment, God came and warned this man that your relative's not ready to pass off the scene. It's time of judgment, but Lot, he needs something. What did Abraham do? Abraham drew near. Abraham took advantage of that time of visitation and started to use the grace that he had. The access that he had, God had admitted him to a certain place, revealed something to Abraham. And by revealing that to Abraham, he was like inviting Abraham to say, Abraham, you need to come and speak to me now. Amen. You need to speak to me on behalf of these people because they don't have the access that you have. Amen. They don't know you the way that you know me. They don't know me the way that you know me. You see, in the moment now the Lord opened that up, Abraham discerned inside of himself, no. He got a travail of soul. He got a burden now. He allowed that burden that was in the heart of the Lord to become the burden that came upon him. Because God does not desire that any should perish. Amen. God delights not in the death of the wicked. He doesn't desire that. Amen. You know, so when the Lord drew near, then Abraham started to feel towards Lot, maybe a way that he hadn't felt for a long time. He started to feel a concern and he started to feel an urgency inside of himself to say, no. I've got to do something. What can I do for my nephew? And the greatest thing that he could do was use the access that he had in prayer. The grace that had been given to him to go and make intercession on behalf of Lot. And then he started to intercede, and he started to intercede. And the next chapter says, when the Lord destroyed Sodom, he remembered Abraham. He remembered Abraham. Friends, there's a power in this kind of faith. But sometimes it just seems to be too simple. We're expecting something. We've got to feel something. We've got to see. No. That same faith that allows you to live a life day by day, that all the people you work with at school with, at college with, or live in the same neighborhood, they can't live that life. Amen. Many of them would like to live that life, but they don't know how. They don't have power. Amen. They make the resolutions. I'm going to stop drinking. This drinking is going to destroy me. And a few days later, they overcome. Once again, they are under the feet of those very things which they don't desire to be in bondage to. But God has done something to you. He's done something to me. That we have a faith that every day, when the others are looking at pornography there on their phones, you can say no. When everybody else is opening the newspaper and reading those things that shouldn't be read, you have power to say, I don't want that. No, that doesn't have dominion over me. When others are dying because of nicotine addiction, they can't go. Even thinking of getting in an airplane and flying 1 hour to London, it's hard for them because how am I going to go 1 hour without smoking? Some people are like that. But you now, because of grace, because of faith, look at those things. You don't even like the smell of those things anymore. Yet you used to be bound by those things. Friends, that's the power of the faith that you have. On a daily basis, you're living out this faith. So now we need to take that same faith and we need to point it in the right direction. We need to focus it in the right direction. And He's going to have to lead us to do it. He's going to have to help us. No, because there's certain people maybe around us now, maybe your relative on the other side of the world. He needs grace. He needs to know the Lord. And there's sufficient faith inside of you to do something in that situation. So when God starts to lay the burden upon you, when you start drawing near to the Lord and start praying for your loved ones, those around and about you, God can start to give you a discernment. And then you can start to pray and things can start to move. It's a powerful thing, friends. You don't realize it. No, the other night I went to pray. I have a place I go and I pray out in the fields at night. And I was praying and I was thinking of somebody that I was helping that don't live here. And I hadn't heard from them for some days. And I was a bit worried. I said, no, there's something funny is going on. So I went and I prayed so much for that person. And I got home. It didn't even take 30 minutes. The phone rang. It was that person crying on the other end of the phone. Saying, please, if you can just help me, this, that, and the other. And it was such a powerful thing. And I've seen it so many, many times. When the Lord puts something upon your heart, don't allow anything else to come in the way. Go and pray. Go and pray and speak to the Lord the way that Abraham spoke to the Lord. Go and speak on behalf of other people. Friends, that faith, it prevails. It does something inside of you and it starts to move circumstances and situations. So he says that, he says, we were allotted that much faith and we believe that we are saved. We believe that. Then we ride right up above that because we believe that we're saved. That's the power of just the simple believing that you're saved. Then he goes on to say, now, with a little bit of God, you might just have a little bit of God. You said, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, not worthy of your love, but you did love me. I accept you as my Savior. Immediately you walk right out of there. Stop lying, cheating, stealing. Stop doing things you oughtn't do. Why? Because you believe you're a Christian. And because you believe you're a Christian, you rise up from that. You're to another level. You see, now it can just go to another level. But that level of faith, even if you just go that level of faith, that's what Paul and Silas were saying to that man. All you need is this faith. This faith will bring salvation to you and to your house. Because your house, your children are your inheritance. And then he continues on about people that are sick and so forth. He says, now, listen what he says in the Message respects about how sometimes you'll pray. Or even like Job. Let me just read one, sorry, here when he speaks in the same message a little bit about Job. He says, now, he says, we've got one thing to do. So there's just one thing that we need to do in this situation. He says, let's go back something to drive in my text, thy and thy house. Let's take an old man in the Bible by the name of Job. He was a smart man. Yeah. And the devil looked down and saw Job was a smart man. I'll show you what a smart man does. Coming back to my text, thy and thy house. Now, everything when it was in good order, like your homes are now, he said, you know, my children are married off. Perhaps, peradventure, one of them might have sinned. Now, God had one requirement. That was a burnt offering. Just the power of a burnt offering. Job had a revelation. He knew that God requires a person to apply a burnt offering. To stay righteous before God. To stay in right standing with God. To keep access with God. All you need to do is with sincerity offer a burnt offering. And just with that revelation, something moved upon Job and told him, Job, you need to do something for your children. Amen. There came an urgency inside of him. Why? Because something was about to happen to his children. Amen. So the Lord moved down upon Job in a way, and suddenly he just felt a discernment. He felt an uneasiness in the spiritual realm on behalf of these children. And the only thing he knew was the only thing that he had to do. All Job knew was to approach God. I've got to offer a burnt offering. And what is the burnt offering? It's a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perfect type of him dying on the cross under the fiery judgment of God. Him crying and saying, I thirst. He was our burnt offering. He was the one that was accepted for us. So just that simple faith. That's what Job took. He took that burnt offering. He made an altar, which speaks of prayer, which speaks of worship. And he took that burnt offering and he offered a sacrifice for each of his children. That's all that he had to do. And as he did that, something moved inside of him and he felt inside of himself, God's accepted this offering. Something's going to take place. I don't know how. I don't know why, I don't know when, but something moved inside of him. Just as much as when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, something moved inside of you and you knew, I'm a Christian now. God's forgiven me now. That's the same way Job, the prophet, says he had that same feeling. He says, God's accepted this. I don't know what this means, but I've prayed, I've made intercession, I've offered this burnt offering on behalf of my children. And then we know what the devil came and did. He came and smote the house with a great wind. The house fell on the children. They all died the same day. And then Job goes through all of his trials. You get to the end of the book of Job. God gives him double of everything. We know it. We saw it once before. Gives him, if he had 7,000 sheep, he ends up with 14,000. 10,000 camels, he has 20,000. Whatever it was. But at the end, he only has 7 new children. And the prophet says, why? Because he never lost one of them. They were waiting for him. So he did have a double portion. He had 7 children in the beginning. He had 14 children at the end, but 7 were waiting for him over yonder. And that was the power of the burnt offering. That was the power. And friends, all we've got to do is apply the burnt offering. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith in his perfect finished work. Our faith believing that he died for the sins of the world. Our faith believing that he desires all men to be saved. All men to come into repentance. And our faith to believe, the prophet says, that God has given us our children, our relatives, as our inheritance. There's no mistake that God made you have those relatives. That God made you have those children. He knows what he's doing. So it's just using this access that we have. Now look how we'll finish off as we come to pray. He says, you notice he restored his 7 children. He gave Job 7 children. He says, now what was it? His house. Thy and thy house shall be saved. The other 7 were waiting for him. Then the prophet now starts speaking about you believing for your house. He says, now I'm believing for my house. You're believing for your house. By believing that, we trust God. God imputes our own faith like he did to Abraham. Or Job, or any of them, for righteousness. It's allotted to us for righteousness. That's how you and your household shall be saved. He says, it's a wonderful thing. He says, now, I'm praying that God will save these teenage children. The prophet doesn't just start with this, finish with his natural family. He goes to the spiritual family as well. He says, I'm believing that no one in the church will be lost. Because that's our spiritual family as well. Thy and thy house. He says, I'm praying that God will save these teenage children. Now straight away certain people will think and say, but you don't know what my son is up to. You don't know how full of unbelief. You don't know my daughter, what she does. Listen how he answers it. He says, or you will say, look at this kid, how he's doing. I don't care what he's doing or what she's doing. I still have put that child in the hands of Almighty God. Me and my house will be saved. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. So you can't look at currently what they're doing, currently what they're going through. No, there's a faith, there's a something inside of you that anchors inside of you and knows that God has this in his hands. God has this under control, even if the circumstances are going to seem to get worse. But thy and the house shall be saved. I've come, I've offered the prescribed offering, I've come to the throne of mercy. I had a liberty to pray. Something opened in the spiritual realm. Something has settled inside of my soul. Now you leave it in the hands of God. It says, even though I may pass on before they do, but somehow, before they leave here, God will twist them right down on the trail. I believe that. He will make it so miserable for them till they'll have to do it. See? He knows what he's doing. So you may have passed on, but friends, the power of that faith, those prayers that you brought before the throne of grace that have been stored up as sweet incense in those golden bowls before the throne of God, and you've been storing up those prayers, you've been sowing in weep with tears, sowing with tears on behalf of this your house, your inheritance, one day, in God's season, those bowls get poured out before his throne. And it comes up as a memorial, a remembrance before the Lord. You may be in the next world. You may have passed from this life. But God has his time. If you remember the story that the prophet speaks about Charles Finney when he prayed. He was speaking about that man who had TB, who was dying with tuberculosis. And this man was so sick. And he was lying in his bed. He was dying of tuberculosis. And he prayed. He was a real man of prayer. And he kept a journal. And in his journal, each day when he had prayed, he prayed so much until the end, he prayed until he died. But this man would pray for revival to visit a certain town or village, whatever it was the Lord laid upon his heart. And he'd record in his journey, he'd say, the Lord permitted me to offer the prayer of faith today on behalf of such and such a town. And then a day later, whenever it was, he'd put again, the Lord allowed me to pray the prayer of faith today for such and such a town. And in the end, the last places he was praying for, I think it was India and somewhere else. And then the man died. Went to glory. Some years later, the Lord sends Charles Finney down through that area in America. And Charles Finney hits those towns almost in exactly the same sequence that man had in his journal. And his widow came and showed Charles Finney the journal and said, look at this. And the last place was India. And I think the revival hit India last. But it just shows you may not be there. That the prayer of faith, it does something. The prayer of faith, it makes power available. It stores something up. And in due season, in God's own time, in God's own way, he knows how to bring that forth. To bring forth the desire which you are praying for. He says, I've seen that many times. An old boy will come up there, been rough all of his life. He'd fall on his knees, go to crying at the altar. Well, I had a dear old mother. Oh, she's in heaven tonight. I know she's looking down. She's glad to see me at this altar. The prophet says, you see what it is. That old mother prayed and believed. But she's gone on long ago. But here's them prayers. Is that not a powerful thing? If you read this message, you won't have time, but it's very powerful. He speaks about the young people in that church in Georgia, where he was visiting, Tifton, Georgia. He says, you may look at your children here. He says, you may think some of them are renegades. He says, go and see what it's like in the world. He says, you don't realize how good your children are. You don't realize how respectful they are. He says, what is it? It's the power of your faith. It's just your faith that you're living on a daily basis has an impact upon even your children. I gave the example once before, walking with another brother at Baxter with his children, going to Tesco once. And I had Daniel and Rachel, and this brother who had backslid now, he had went into the world, married in the world, he had his two children. I thought our children were naughty until that day. Then when I was walking with this brother by Tesco, and they were kicking all the plants and pushing all the signs down and breaking everything. And Daniel and Rachel walking like two little soldiers next to me. I went home and I told Gideon, I said, yes, I didn't realize how good our children are. Friends, that's the power of your faith. Let's not look for some big something when it's close by. God is already having mercy upon them. He's keeping them. He's delivering them from the evils and the influence of this age because of that faith unto salvation that you yourself have. And that's why he goes and speaks and he says, look at your children. He says, look at the way they'll sit when a preacher's visiting your house and he's speaking. He says, other children would have been up and off they'd go. He says, some of these teenagers will sit there listening to what's being said. He says, thy and thy house shall be saved. That's a power. That's an influence. That's something which is working upon them already. A restraining influence. Something that's keeping them from being like the rest of the world. Something that's already keeping them from a lot of sin. Keeping them from a lot of these spirits that are going through the world in this age. I'll finish with this from respect. He says, some time ago in New Albany, I was standing there talking to a sinner, leading him to Christ, a big old rough-handed man in the garage. The man was a friend of mine. His son-in-law runs the garage next door. I was preaching at the dinner hour, eating a sandwich, talking to him about God. Through the daytime, I'd find somewhere I could go at dinner time to try to win a soul to Christ. And he said, Mr. Branham, I was just a boy preacher then. He said, Mr. Branham, my mother had that kind of religion. That heartfelt religion. And the tears were running down his cheeks. I said, how long has she been gone? He said, years. Yet she always prayed for me. I said, the God that heard her prayers is trying to answer them here right now. Ah, friends. That's the power of faith. That's the power of applying the same faith which you were saved by to your house. To apply it. But friends, we can work counter as well. No, because you can be trying to apply the faith and then you do certain things, you allow certain things, and it's working exactly opposite to the faith that you profess. Try to get your life lined up with the faith. You know, line up as well as you can so that the faith flows. There's no hindrance as far as you possibly can. Thy and thy house shall be saved. I'll finish with this one here from questions and answers. I'll give you my estimation of what I think the closest thing to an evidence that a man is a Christian. Then anything I know of, what is it? It's travail of soul. Every single one of us, if you just get yielded, if you're a believer, you can experience travail of soul. God will put a burden on you for somebody. God will put a burden on you for something else. We can grieve it away. We can get so caught up in worldly affairs, so caught up in our natural life, that He's trying to lay a burden upon us for our children, trying to lay a burden upon us for someone on the other side of the world is going to pass away, and they need, like Abraham, to have somebody intercede on their behalf. But sometimes we're just not yield enough, not just sensitive enough. It's a soul travail. He says, a person that's always hungering and thirsting for God. Day and night, they just can't stand it. There's a soul travail. He that goes forth sowing in tears will doubtless return again. What if God would say to me, now look, you have to answer for that group of people. Do you want them all to shout? Sure, I want them to shout. Do you want them all to speak with tongues? I want every one of them to. Do you want them all to dance in the Spirit? I want every one of them to. All right, that's very good. But what would you rather have them to do? This is the prophet speaking. I'd rather have a church that had such a burden on their heart for prayer. That they just stayed at this altar. And be here day and night. And in their house was constantly in prayer. Humble. Trying to get people to come to God. Making calls at the hospital. Visiting the sick. Trying to get people to come to church and do right. I'd rather have that than all the rest of it put together. I'd put that first. Because if you've got that, the other will take place by itself. If you get so hungry for God, just keep hungry. Keep yourself now. Don't, if you see yourself getting indifferent, so if we start losing that burden, if you start not being concerned about the people around us, we're not concerned about our neighbors, not concerned about our relatives, not concerned about the spiritual condition of our children. The prophet says, if you're getting indifferent, remember, look out. That's another spirit trying to get in there. Stay right before God, humble, with travail of soul. Our friends, I'm sure you're like me. That's what you would desire. And you can't have it without prayer. That's why we want to come for prayer. That as we pray for Sister Viva, she flies tomorrow with Brother Andres. As we pray for the funeral, as we pray for the relatives to comfort, that's the grace of God. We have access. We can pray for that on their behalf. But let's also use this opportunity to consider our own loved ones that are close to home. Those that are not in the right condition. That if today was the day that their number was called and they were told, it's enough, your earthly journey finishes today. Those that wouldn't be ready to cross that dark boundary into the world to come. I'd say, let's use this opportunity. Let's really come before the Lord. Let's pray for them. Let's really pray for our children. Let's draw nigh unto the throne of grace. Let's draw near. Let's yield ourselves. Let's be sensitive. Let's follow His leadership. Because the same faith that's allowing you to live a day on a daily basis is the same faith that can change that situation. And all you need is something to open to you. As you approach unto Him and you just pour out before the throne of God. And then we leave it in His hands. And He's the one who knows how to move. He's the one who knows how to deal with the souls of men and women. He's the one who knows how to bring circumstances and situations. Think of Brother Branham. His father was a sinner right until just before he died. And he died on the prophet's arms, and the prophet was leading him to Christ right there when he died. Think of that. But how many times he had prayed, and how many times he had prayed, friends. God cannot forget this kind of prayer. It's not your salvation that saves them, but it's this faith. This faith in the promise that He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. Let's stand upon that. Let's ask Brother George to come. Let's sing one song. Let's put ourselves before the Lord this evening. Let's put these petitions and requests before the Lord, praying for the Lord's grace, the spirit of comfort and grace upon the family of our sister, upon the relatives, and the Lord will be in all these arrangements. And let's remember, thy in the house. Let's remember those in the spiritual household of faith that are far from God. They come here many, many times, but they don't know Christ in a saving way. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart,
amen,
let's approach Him in prayer this evening in Jesus' name.
Where He will lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust Him so, and I remember 'twas for me that He was slain on Calvary.
Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me, night and day, Jesus shall lead me. I delight, who I delight in. His command, not to be led by His dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood stained Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me, night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. Oh, I remember Calvary. Onward I go, no doubt, no fear. I'm happy with Christ, my Savior. Here is King that I serve. I shall see Him, Jesus, my friend, on Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me, night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. Lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. Oh, I remember Calvary. Oh, I remember. Oh, I remember Calvary.
As we pray, we remember Calvary. We remember the great offering that's been made on our behalf. Not only on our behalf, but we have faith that that same offering was made on behalf of our house. So let's come before Him in prayer, remembering. Let's be thankful for what He's done. And let's apply this faith as He grants us access to whosoever the Lord lays upon us. Let's all enter into a time of prayer. Oh, Father, I'm looking unto Thee upon this night, Lord, for how I desire to.
Our minds not be caught up, Lord, on the things of this world, Lord, but let them be caught up, Lord, on the things of the unseen world, Lord, Savior God, that we be able, Lord, Savior, to fulfill our duty and purpose, Lord, with joy as we, Lord, Savior, walk, Lord, through this life, Lord, Savior God. Guide us, Lord, Savior, keep us, O God, and give us, Lord, Savior, Father, that, Lord, Savior, we'd always do Your will and purpose, Lord. Father, with gladness amidst our hearts, O God. We come all unto Thee, Lord. You be our portion. Be that we require, that we need. Bless us, Lord, Savior, with this word. We ask in Thy holy name.
Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we want to thank You for the word tonight. Lord God, what a reminder, Lord, Father, of the power of Thy word. Many times we live our lives day by day not realizing what we have become, what You have made us to become, Lord. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for the power of the word that saved us from what we were to what we are today. And to hear the word being spoken of us and our houses, Lord. Oh, what a great responsibility it places upon us, Lord. We just pray, Father, that this word would constantly be before us, that we would not forget it, Lord. That, Father, there is many things that are even dependent upon us, Lord. Father, sometimes even our attitude towards our children could determine certain things in their lives, Lord. So help us, Father, realizing the power in this word that you have placed in us, Lord, to be always mindful of these things, Lord, that our lives are written epistles to many that are around us, Lord. Help us, Father, that we may walk, Lord, Father, in a way that is worthy of such grace that you have revealed unto us, Father. That, Lord, we may live our lives as a burnt offering for the sake of our families, the sake of our workmates, Lord, the sake of all those that are around us. We just pray, oh, Father, for we realize as we see many people passing away, Lord, that, Father, it can be time up for any person around us at any time. We never know when the hour would come, Lord, that you would call some of those that are around us, Father. Oh, what a thing it would be to think I could have done this and that, but the opportunity has passed. But we pray tonight, Lord, that while we still have the opportunity to influence some other people around us, help us, Father, that we may esteem this opportunity, for we may never get it again, Lord. Help us, Father, that as we go from this place, Lord, let this mind, Lord, stay right in us, Father. Lord, let us not forget it, Father, that when the enemy would come to try and make us be busy with this and that in our lives, that we would always remember the word, Lord, and what it is calling us unto. And Father, tonight we just want to say we answer that call, Lord. Help us, Father, to apply it, Lord, for our families, as the prophet would call it, to apply the token, Lord, applying the blood on the lintel, Lord, for the sake of those that are around us, we pray. Father, we pray for our sister tonight. Lord, may you carry her, Lord. In your arms, may you comfort her, for you are the great comforter, the only comfort, Lord, that we know is you, Lord. Father, may you draw near to her tonight, Father. Lord, even her mother, Lord, Father, we pray that you'd strengthen them. Lord, even the journey tomorrow morning as they would go, may you go with them, Father, and bring them safely back, Lord. Oh, may we hear of a good report of how you would have carried them and brought them back safely, Father. Amen. We commit all the arrangements in your hands. Yes. Father, may it all go as best as it can, Lord. Amen. For the glory of your name, we ask it, Father. Yes, bless Lord. Us now as we go home. Help us, Father, to apply this word in our lives. We ask it for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know there's not too many of us here tonight, so what maybe we'll do, Brother Willie, if it's okay, is we'll have, I know that Brother Virgus already has helped out a little bit with the finance, so we'll rather take the offering on the weekend. We'll let all the saints know, because I know even Brother Greg had asked us to put some money for the saints there in Carlo, so we'll let the saints know. Let's take a collection on the weekend, we give it to Brother Virgus, and then when the brother's back with his wife, they can solve all those things. I think it might work out better like that, so. God bless everybody. Thank you very much for coming to the house of the Lord. Let's sing that song as we dismiss. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord.
Of heart, the Spirit calling. Who will go and work for me today? Oh, who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Oh, speak, my Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me, Jesus. Now be quick to answer thee.
making him as pure can be. Oh, then the voice of God said, who go for us? Then he answered, my sent you.
Send me, Lord, send me, Lord.
Oh, speak, my Lord.
Speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, Jesus. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Oh, speak, my Lord.
Speak to me, Lord.
Lord, speak and I will answer, Lord.
Send me, Lord, send me, Lord.
Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to the sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I,
Lord, here am I.
Oh, speak, my,
speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, Jesus. Can I be quick to answer thee? Oh, speak, my,
speak to me, Lord,
my Lord. Speak and I will answer, Lord.
Send me, Lord, send me, Lord.
Soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child welcome. Oh, speak, my,
speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, my Jesus. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Oh, speak, my, oh, speak, my Lord. And I will answer, Lord, send me, Lord, send me, Lord.